Friday, June 8th, is the 2018 RCCG Canada Holy Ghost Service featuring Pastor E. Edeboye, Pastor Folu Edeboye, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey, Pastor Kunle Ajayi, and other ministers. The theme is Let the Fire Fall. 7 p.m. at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road, Mississauga. Admission is free. Come and experience the power of the Lord. Call 1-866-586-RCCG or visit rccgcanada.org.
Well, when you ask God to send down his fire, you automatically are asking for all manners of miracles, signs, and wonders. Because when the fire of God falls, yokes are destroyed, doors are opened, the forgotten is remembered. And so the Holy Ghost service this year is going to be an extraordinary one. So we're expecting a lot of signs and wonders and some very big testimonies. Days. Bless the King of Kings. Bless the Lord of Lords. Give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. Give him glory. Give him honor. He's the Almighty God. There's nothing impossible for him. He reigns supreme. Bless his holy name. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Bless the Almighty God. Let him hear your voice. Tell him you love him. Tell him you appreciate him. Give him all the glory, all the honor. Magnify the Ancient of Days. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we worship you. We adore you. We give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Amen. Lift your voice to him and say, Father.
Father.
It's you have come to me tonight.
You have come to me tonight.
Let me have an encounter with you.
Yes,
go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Almighty God, you are the one that came to me tonight. I'm not here to meet any man. I'm come so I can meet with you, Lord. Please let me have an encounter with you. Almighty God, let me have an encounter with you tonight. An unforgettable encounter. Please, Lord, let me have an encounter with you tonight. Let me have an encounter with you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Now let's lift our voices to him and say, Father,
Father,
don't let me leave the way I came.
Don't let me leave the way I came.
Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Let me leave here better, healthier, stronger, more anointed, closer to you than ever before. Don't let me leave the way I came. Oh Lord, take me to a higher level. Don't let me leave the way I came. Do something new in my life. Before I leave this place tonight, do something new in my life. Don't let me leave the way I came. Thank you, my Father, my God. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And then you lift your voice to him and say, Father, by the time I leave this place, let me sing a new song. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. By the time I leave this place, Lord, let me sing a new song. A new song of victory. A new song of triumph. A new song of joy. A new song of breakthrough. Father, let me sing a new song. By the time I leave this place, Almighty God, let me sing a new song. Let me sing a new song. Oh Lord, let me sing a new song. Let me sing a new song of victory. A new song of joy. A new song of breakthrough. Let me sing a new beautiful song. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Please join your hands with your neighbor. And because of the law of harvest, pray for your neighbor. And say, Father, this is your child that I'm holding. Surprise him or her tonight. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. This is your child that I'm holding. Give him a pleasant surprise. Give her a pleasant surprise tonight. Surprise my neighbor tonight. Give my neighbor a very, very pleasant surprise. Tonight, give my neighbor a very, very pleasant surprise. yes, Lord. A divine miracle. A divine breakthrough. A very pleasant surprise, O Lord. Give to this your child to me. Give to this your child to me. Thank you, Almighty God. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. You are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia. Alleluia. You are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia. Alleluia. You are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia. Alleluia. You are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia. Alleluia. Eternal Rock of Ages, the Holy One of Israel, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Rock of Ages himself, the unchangeable changer, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Resurrection, the Life, the Way, the Truth, the King of Glory, the Lord of Hosts. Glory be to your holy name. Father, glory be to your holy name. There's no one like you. You are greater than the greatest. You are better than the best. You are older than the oldest. You are wiser than the wisest. You are richer than the richest. You can never fail. You will never lie. Glory be to your holy name. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. Tonight, in all our lives, Father, do something new. Do something mighty. Do something glorious. Save souls tonight. Heal tonight. Amen. Deliver tonight. Amen. Set the captives free tonight. Amen. Let there be joy here tonight. Amen. Let there be victory here tonight. Amen. Let there be testimonies here tonight. Amen. Let there be new songs here today. Amen. Let there be shouts of joy here tonight. Amen. And Father, please bless this land. Amen. Heal this land. Amen. Prosper this land. And just let it be well. And in all your churches, all over this nation, let there be revival. And by the time we leave here in the morning, my Father and my God, we pray that your praise will overflow in our hearts. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. That's not bad, but I know that there's someone here tonight who will get the biggest miracle of all. If you are the one, shout the biggest hallelujah. God bless you. You may please be seated. Is there any reason why the the light in the center of the hall is not on. I love to see the people I'm talking to. So if it is possible for the authorities to please turn on the light. This is not it's not a club. This is a gathering of children of light. If you agree with me, shout hallelujah. So please, can you give us light? Children of God who want to take notes, and they need light to see. Now, how many of you are coming to a Holy Ghost service for the first time? Let me see your hand. Ah, all right. Let me hear you shout hallelujah then. Those of you who are coming for the first time, you are going to get first time miracle in Jesus' name. Those of you who have come before, you will get additional miracles in Jesus' name. First of all, let me thank God for all those who had ministered before me. I thank God for my brother who prayed for the nation. I thank God for all the ministers who have been doing wonderfully well. Each time I see my daughter, she's getting better and better. I think we will probably just go and keep you in Nigeria for a while. And the choir, you have done beautifully well. Let's give the choir a big hand too. As for Pastor Matthew, there are very few preachers in the world that when you mention just one of their names, they know who you are talking about. Pastor Matthew lives in England, and there are many Matthews in England. At the moment you say Pastor Matthew, everybody knows who you are talking about. Even though he's not around now, let's give the Lord a big round of applause for Pastor Matthew. Now, because of those of you who are coming for the first time, so that we can operate at the same wavelength, let me explain one or two things very quickly. Whenever God wants to speak to a crowd of people, he addresses himself to individuals. He may be talking to 1,000 people, but he will see, say, there is someone here. For example, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he was addressing a whole church. And he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man," he didn't say if many men, "if any man hears my voice." So he's always talking to individuals. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever." So as we go along tonight, it is most likely that you will hear there is someone here. At the end of the day, the someone might be 1,000 people. Don't think I have made a mistake. That's the way God speaks. For example, there is someone here tonight who will never weep again. Yeah! Where is that someone? Yeah! If you are the one, let me hear you shout hallelujah. The second thing you need to note is that the Holy Spirit flows like a river. Those of you in Canada might not fully understand this, but those of us from the villages, when we go to fetch water from the village river, we will understand that one. The river is flowing. When it is your turn to dip in your bucket and bring out your own quantity of water, if you hesitate, the river will not wait for you. So if, as you go on tonight, you are to doze off, and God mentioned your particular case, and somebody next to you said, "Amen," and then you woke up and said, "What did he say?" By then it will be too late. So tell your neighbor, don't doze at all. And the third thing we need to note is that in some nations of the world, particularly in North America here, they have some restaurants where they say you can come in and eat all you can. Everybody pays the same price, and then you eat till you are satisfied and you go. And We don't have too many like that in Africa. They know if they try that in Africa, they will close down fast. But occasionally you find some people go into such a restaurant and they will take just one little chicken and one little spoon of rice. And I used to wonder, why do they come here? Because when I go in there, by the time I leave, they will know somebody has visited them. Now the reason I'm telling you that is that today the Lord has spread the table before you. And it's a buffet. On the table there is salvation, there is healing, there is deliverance, there is victory, there is success, there is the fruit of the womb, there is joy. How much of it are you going to take? Okay, very good. Now, the next thing we need to know is that when you go through the scriptures, you will discover that almost everyone that Jesus Christ healed, he healed them according to their faith. He will turn to you and ask, do you believe I can do this? If you say yes, then he will say, be it unto you according to your faith. Or he may say, your faith has made thee whole. Now I want to assure you, brethren, God is here tonight. And I have two major reasons why I know that is true. Reason number one, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there. So I know we are more than two here. And so God is here with us. Second reason I know is that I brought him with me. And I'm not saying that one lightly. Because when he called me into the ministry more than 30 years ago, he promised me that wherever I go, he will go with me. So right now, God is here. He's ready to meet your needs. By special grace, I have prepared myself. The only thing left now is your faith. How many of you believe that tonight is your night? If you believe that, let me hear you say amen loud and clear. All right. Finally, I've always told this to those who are close to me. When I came to America for the first time in 1979, I was at Kenyatta camp meeting. And I saw God using that blessed man to perform miracles. He will lay hands on people, they will fall under the power. When they wake up, they are already healed. On my way home in the plane, I said to the Almighty God, you know, he's my father, so I can talk to him. I said, if I get back to Nigeria and I don't see you do what I've seen in America, I will say you are a racist. It's my daddy. Thank God he didn't kill me. So when I got home, I called my people together. Went home with that faith. And lo and behold, as I was laying hand on them, they were falling under the power. And miracles were happening. Of course, I was very happy. I felt big. But then soon, I saw some people trying to do the same thing. And when people were not actually falling, they began to push them. And they will hold people's head and shake until the fellow will say, well, if the way to get rid of you breaking my neck is to fall down, I better do so. Then one day I went to a meeting and I saw a man, as he was laying hands on people, he was putting his leg behind their legs so that when he pushes them, they had no alternative. So I had to say to God, there must be an easier way of doing this thing. And he said, of course there is. He said, it is written, I sent my word and I healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. He said, son, you preach the word and leave the miracles to me. So tonight, as the word is coming out to
don't wait till the end of the meeting. As the word is coming, your miracles will be coming also. You get ready to receive in Jesus' name. Okay, now we are ready. How many of you are ready for the Almighty God? Okay, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And then, in case you have your Bible, or if there's enough light for you to read, then you can look at Mark chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 46 to 52. Mark chapter 10, 46 to 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Thank you, Father. I know this is going to be a great night, but the Lord said there is someone here is we're having some very serious problem with your eyes, and your eyes are already clearing now. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We are discussing tonight the theme, beauty for ashes. Normally, what I would have loved to do as someone who has been trained as a mathematician is to start by defining our terms. What do we mean by beauty? What do we mean by ashes? But when it comes to defining beauty, we will run into a problem. Because what the Europeans will call beauty might not be what the Africans will call the beauty. What the Japanese will call beauty might be a little different from what the Arabs might call beauty. So let's leave the beauty outside the definition. Just what beauty is to you is beauty. As for ashes, I don't think we'll have any disagreement on that. Ashes usually are leftovers after fire has done its work. Ashes are that part of the wood that fire rejected and said, I cannot turn this one to flame. Everything about ashes is bad. Everything about ashes is depressing. Everything about ashes is evil. So when we talk about beauty for ashes, it means God is going to look at someone here today and take everything in your life that is unpleasant, useless, rejected, and turn it around to something beautiful, something glorious, something acceptable, something attractive. If you are the one, let me hear your amen. Now in the story we read in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, we just want to use that story as our case study in how God can change ashes to beauty. For example, this man called Bartimaeus got light in place of darkness. Everybody knows that darkness is evil. Everything about darkness is bad. We don't have to spend time analyzing that one. But we know that light is good. In Genesis chapter 1, if you read it from verse 1 to 4, Genesis 1 verse 1 to 4, the Bible tells us that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The reason everything was formless, the reason everything was empty, the reason everything was out of order was because darkness was present. Then the Almighty God said, let there be light. And immediately there was light. And the Bible tells us that when God looked at the light, he said, behold, it was good. Everything that is bad in your life will be chased away tonight in Jesus' name. This man received light for darkness because the one who was passing by, according to John chapter 9 verse 5, John chapter 9 verse 5, is the light of the world. The one who is paying you a visit in Toronto tonight is the light of the world. And according to John chapter 1 verse 4 to 5, John 1 verse 4 to 5, the Bible says in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And he said the light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. I'm praying for someone here tonight. The light of God that is about to shine into your life will never go out in Jesus' name. Now I can give you all kinds of testimonies on people who received light in place of darkness and how their life changed dramatically. But just one will do. Some of you probably have heard the testimony before. There was this woman who had a very, very strange disease. This disease is such that, I don't know if the doctors have a name for it, that whenever you switch on anything electrical, instead of the current flowing in the electrical equipment, the current will be flowing in the woman. For example, if you switch on a fan, instead of the fan rotating, the woman will begin to rotate. You switch on the fridge, instead of the water in the fridge getting cold, the woman will begin to get cold. You switch on an electric iron, instead of the iron getting hot, the woman will be getting hot. If doctors have a name for it, they will tell us one of these days. And so even though she was living in a huge town, they could not put on electricity in her room, in the house. She was living in darkness, even though she was surrounded by light. And when they came to me and they said that there is a case that they wanted me to attend to, I said, go and bring her. They said, she cannot be brought. Because there was a time they tried to take her to the hospital in an open van, and she was sitting in the open van. As they turned the key of the car to start the engine, you know, current has to flow from the battery to start the engine. As they turned the key, something picked her up and threw her out of the car. So they invited us. We went to the house, and I told her, I know somebody who can take you out of darkness into light, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now, she belonged to a different faith. But when I explained the situation to her, it didn't take long before she gave her life to Jesus. And then we prayed a simple prayer. After the prayer, I said, we can switch on the light now. We switch on the light came on. We switch on the fan began to rotate, and the woman had been healed since that day. I am believing God for someone here today, as many of you as have been held bound by forces of darkness. Today, you will be free. Then when you go through the story of this man called Bartimaeus, you will notice that when he began to cry out for help, all the people around began to ask him to shut up. He has not offended any of them, yet they all hated him. But by the time the story was over, God has given him love for hatred. Occasionally you find some people in the world, and may I thank God for the authorities of this place for switching on the light. I think they had "let there be light," and now there is light. May there be light in their lives also. There are some people who, wherever they go, they just find that people hate them for no reasons at all. People just cannot tolerate them, and they don't know why. Well, it still has to do with forces of darkness. But the Almighty God has the ability to change hatred to love. Because the very people who were asking Bartimaeus to shut up were the same people who came back to him and said, "Be of good cheer, he calleth thee." I have good news for someone here today. All those who have hated you up to this moment suddenly will become your friends. Why? Because in Proverbs 16 verse 7, the Bible says, if a man's ways please God, he will cause even his enemies to be at peace with him. The Bible tells us in Psalm 23 verse 5, he said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And then in Proverbs 8 verse 24, the Bible says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Even though you may not know any friend up to this moment, I have good news for you. There is a friend who will stay by your side 24/7. Because he made a promise in Hebrews 13 verse 5. Thank you, Father. The Lord said there is someone here who has been growing weaker by the day. He asked me to tell you, your strength is returning. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Lord said, there's a woman here. He said, as I was speaking, you had a rumbling in your stomach. He said, it's a sign to you that your womb has been untied. Congratulations, whoever you are. By this time next year, you will bring your children with you. In Hebrews 13 verse 5, he promised, he said, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." Anywhere you go, there will be a friend. And that friend is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, the third thing that we see in this story of Bartimaeus is that initially it looks as if his prayers would not be answered. But before the story was over, no has become yes. Which is good news for all of us who are here tonight. Every prayer you have prayed before that had not been answered, tonight you will receive an answer to all of them. When you go through the scriptures, you find an example in John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. John 2, verse 1 to 11. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was invited to a wedding. And while he was at the wedding, they ran out of wine. And when they ran out of wine, the mother came to him and said, they lack wine. And he said to the mother, "Don't bother me. My time has not yet come." In other words, I'm not even here anyway as the master of ceremony. I'm just a guest. Leave me alone. But the same Bible tells us that before the day was over. The no has already become a yes. Every one of you here tonight who had had your request turned down, get ready for a surprise. In Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28, Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28, the Bible tells us the story of another woman who came to Jesus Christ and said, "Please, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed of the devil." The Bible said Jesus did not answer her a word. She kept on pressing and said, "Lord, have mercy on me." And she was making so much noise, the disciples said to the Lord, "Send this woman away, the noise is disturbing us." Take note, they didn't say give her what she wanted. They just said get rid of her. And Jesus Christ said, "I am not sent but unto the lordship of the house of Israel." And the woman came and said, fell at his feet and worshipped him. I think he must have discovered a secret, that if you worship God, he will not say no to you. He fell at his feet and worshipped him and said, "Have mercy on me. I know I'm not of the household of Israel, but just have mercy." Jesus said, "I can't give the bread of children to dogs." He said, "I know I'm a dog, but this dog is not going to get up from her knees until she got a miracle." And the Almighty God said, "You got it." And somebody here today, you will not go home without your miracle. You see, because the Almighty God made a promise in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, he said, "If you call upon me, I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know before." In John 14, verse 14, John 14, verse 14, one of my favorite scriptures, the Almighty Jesus Christ said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." That promise will be fulfilled in your life tonight in Jesus' name. And I can give you quite a few testimonies on that. Some of you probably heard of my daughter who came to a program like this, and the word came that there was someone applying for a U.S. visa, and that the visa will be granted. And she already had all papers completed. The following Monday, she was going to appear before the interview panel. And some of you know that getting a U.S. visa in Nigeria, it's easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Anyway, so she got there, presented her papers, and the lady behind the counter there just said, "No, visa denied." And the guy stood there and said, "No, you can't deny me. My father said the visa will be granted." The fellow laughed and said, "Who is your father?" She was expecting her to say the president or the governor. He said, "Pastor so and so." And the lady laughed. "Of all people, your father said I will grant you the visa." So, pushed the papers to her. She collected her papers and turned reluctantly to go away. "But my father said..." And suddenly the woman called her back and said, "Because you made me laugh, I will give you the visa." Because you made me laugh. When God wants to change your no to yes, then will there be a ridiculous reason for that thing happening? I have good news for somebody here who had applied for one thing or the other and you have been turned down. Before the end of this month, yes will come. Next thing that we see from this story, and if I seem to be rushing, it is because there are one or two other things that God wants us to do tonight. And it is that Bartimaeus had been stagnant for years. For 40 years, every day they will carry this man, put him by the roadside, and he will remain there until they return for him. And he had not made a single progress in 40 years. Because he was a blind man, he was a beggar, there was nothing else he could become. If you want to say he had promotion, maybe he had become a senior beggar. But in a single day, God exchanged stagnation and gave him promotion. That's going to be the testimony of someone here today. Because as we already heard earlier today in Psalm 75, verse 6 to 7. Thank you, Lord. The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said, I should just tell you simply that the bleeding has stopped. He said, the fellow concerned will understand. Hallelujah. The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He asked me to tell you, he said, this month you will not weep. He says the fellow concerned will also understand. Now, Psalm 75 verse 6 to 7 says, promotion does not come from the east or from the west or from the south. He said, but God is the judge. He lifts up one, he puts down another. He will lift you up in Jesus' name. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 8, 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 8, the Bible tells us that the Almighty God can pick up a beggar from the dunghill and continue to promote him until he begins to sit with the princes. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 11 to 13, 1 Samuel 16 verse 11 to 13, the Bible tells us that in less than 24 hours, the Almighty God picked the shepherd boy and turned him to a king. I have good news for someone here today. Sudden promotion is coming your way. And the promotion will be very, very rapid. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, the Bible tells us the story of a man who was born lame. He also was about 40 years old. And they always put him by the beautiful gate. And he had been there for 40 years. Always on one spot. Until the Almighty God paid him a visit. And all of a sudden, the man who had been stagnant for 40 years began walking and leaping and praising God. I pray for someone here today that by the time you are leaving this place, you'll be walking, you'll be leaping, and you'll be praising God. Some of you heard me share this testimony, maybe during the Congress or the other, or one of the other meetings. One of my sons came to me and said, Daddy, I'm tired of staying in one spot. And I've applied for a big job. I've been called for the interview. I want you to help me. I want that job. So I said, fine, let us pray. He said, no, don't pray. Just speak a word. I said, all right, if that's your faith. I said, the interview will be easy. You will get the job. He said, amen. The following day, he came back excited. He said, I prepared very hard for the interview. But when I got there, they asked me only three questions. Question number one, what is your name? I told them. Question number two, what did you apply for? I told them, Deputy Managing Director. Question number three, when can you start? He said, I'm starting tomorrow. I'm starting tomorrow. I said, congratulations. He said, no. Speak another word. So I said, all right. Well, you will succeed there. God will promote you. He said, amen. The day after that, he came again, trembling with excitement. And what happened? He said, Daddy, you can't believe this. I got back to the place, and I was asked to go to the boardroom, and I met the same people who interviewed me. And he says, young man, after you left yesterday, our MD resigned. Are you ready for the work of the MD? So I said, congratulations. He said, no, speak another word. So I said, all right. I said, all right, the God who has started a good work in you will complete it. Anyway, I know you will find this difficult to believe, but I'm telling you a true story. Following day, he came back again. This time, he was almost speechless with excitement. He said, "Daddy, you won't believe this. When I got to the place, the same group of people, they said I should come to the boardroom. I met them in the boardroom. And they said, 'Young man, we have discovered the reason why our managing director resigned. Our competitors offered them double the salary we were paying. And since we don't want you to go, we will double your salary.'" I said, "Congratulations." He said, "No, speak another word." I said, "Do you want to collect the company from the owners?" I believe the reason God is asking me to share that with you tonight is because there is someone here who wants me to speak a word. Why don't you stand on your feet? And just for 1 minute, we have not finished. This is just the Holy Spirit doing his own thing. Whatever it is you want me to agree with you upon, talk to the Lord for just 1 minute. Talk to him, and then I will speak a word. Just a word. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's begin to bring our prayers to a close. In Jesus' mighty name, receive your miracle. That which you have requested, receive it right now. From this moment, begin to move from glory to glory. From this moment, begin to move from testimony to testimonies. Beginning from this very moment, may your joy begin to overflow. And may your testimony be bigger than the one I've just shared. So shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name. Go ahead, give the Lord a big round of applause. And then you may please be seated. Now, the fifth thing that happened in the life of Bartimaeus, as you know, the Bible said clearly that he was a beggar, is that he never had to beg again. He got wealth in place of poverty. I thank God that when my brother was leading us in prayer, he said something about the prayer of the Lord, that he wanted the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. He mentioned one thing. I don't know if you missed that one. I was in the prayer room, but just at that moment, it was as if God wanted me to hear. So he brought me out of the spirit so I can listen to what's going on. That, do you know there's no poverty in heaven? How many of you heard that one? Because that word came tonight, poverty will become a stranger to you. The man had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and suddenly he got wealth for poverty, because John chapter 10 verse 10, John 10 verse 10, Jesus Christ said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." Now the one who could say that one, you need to ask him, "How can you promise me life more abundantly? Who are you?" Well, if he had asked him, he would have told him, "I am the Lord, and the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof." That's Psalm 24 verse 1. He could have told him, "I am the Lord," and according to Haggai chapter 2 verse 8, Haggai chapter 2 verse 8, "Silver is mine, and gold is mine, saith the Lord." And the Bible made it abundantly clear in 3 John verse 2, he said, "I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your souls prosper." I pray for every one of you here today, prosperity will become your portion. Now, I know that many preachers have preached prosperity out of proportion. They preach prosperity in such a manner that it has become a bit repugnant to certain people. But please, the fact that some people stretch this thing too far doesn't mean that it is not true. And believe me honestly, prosperity is better than poverty. I've tasted both. I prefer prosperity. And if you don't want to prosper, just tell the Almighty God that your own portion of wealth will be sent to me. Because I need money to do the work I'm doing. How many of you will want to prosper? Beginning from now, receive prosperity in Jesus' name. And Psalm 35 verse 27. Maybe I should say amen to this one before you. The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said your adversaries will be so busy fighting themselves, they will have no time for you at all. Oh Lord, I know God loves you in Toronto. The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said you have had many years of sorrow. He said your years of joy will be plenty. Psalm 35 verse 27. Psalm 35 verse 27 said, let God be glorified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his people. In other words, when the people of God prosper, it gives pleasure to God. God has no pleasure in poverty. And I thank God that he has spared Canada, like he told me 5 years ago, that he will spare Canada from the economic crisis that was coming. And I think he spared Canada because of you. Because he said, if you are willing and you are obedient, you will eat the good of the land. And from the good of this land, you will prosper in Jesus' name. And now, so, I can tell you several stories about people who got wealth for poverty. One of my favorite stories is about a friend of mine. We were young together. I've always told those who wanted to know more about me that, like Pastor Matthew said, my father was so poor, the poor called him poor. Now that's poverty in the real sense of the word. The day he bought an umbrella, we celebrated. That will tell you the level of poverty. But this, my friend, his father was poorer than my father. So poor. I mean, my father sent me to secondary school, even though after paying for 2 years, he couldn't continue. But in his own case, the father couldn't even send him to 1 year in secondary school. That's how poor he was, which is probably why we were friends. You know, poor people befriend poor people. You will leave the category of the poor tonight. And so one day, while all the rest of us were at school, this boy was doing child labor. He was hoeing the backyard of one man. And suddenly the hoe struck something, made a sound that was different from the ordinary soil. And when he dug, he saw a very huge pot. And the pot was filled with gold coins. You know, in the early days in Africa, there were no banks. So when a wealthy man wants to save his money, he will put them in a huge pot and go and bury it. And this boy struck one and found, a lot of gold coins. Of course, he didn't know the value of the coins. So he took one to a goldsmith. And the goldsmith looked at it and said, where did you find it? He said, no, don't worry about that. How much is this one worth? And the goldsmith gave a price that so surprised the boy. The boy said, ha. Now the goldsmith thought that he was saying, you think I don't know the value, you want to cheat me.
So the goldsmith said, all right, I will double the price. So the boy said, ha! To cut a long story short, the goldsmith kept on increasing the price to 5 times what he called it originally. At that time, the boy couldn't talk anymore. He just okay. Very soon after, so the goldsmith said, if you have more, bring more. So you know the rest of the story. Very soon after that, I never saw my friend again. Because level has changed. He disappeared from my friendship. From tonight onward, you will leave the category of the poor. Because God will give you wealth for prosperity. And then, number 6, thing that this man got as an exchange that day was that as a blind man, a man born blind, he was a hopeless situation. Doctors can help you if you have bad eyesight. But when you are born blind, there's very little anybody can do for you. But that day, hope came for the hopeless. And every one of you that your case has been described as hopeless, because you came today, hope will come your way now. Why? Because in Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, Colossians 1:27, the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Almighty God said in Isaiah chapter 3 verse 10, thank you, Father. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight, he asked me to tell you, he said, that aborted miracle shall resurrect. Hallelujah. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight, he said, those who are mocking you now will be compelled to sing, how great is your God. Hallelujah. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight, he said, in your life, hardship will soon become like a forgotten dream. I think I better get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight, he said, your recovery will be in threefold. Physical, material, spiritual. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 10, the Almighty God says, say ye to the righteous, he shall be well with him. Tell your neighbor, my tomorrow will be alright. Please say it as if you really mean it. Because that is the word of God. With God, there is no hopeless cases at all. Ezekiel 37 verse 1 to 10. Ezekiel 37 verse 1 to 10 tells us that this God is so powerful, he can make dry bones live again. The Bible talked about the valley of dry bones, and he said, to let you appreciate how hopeless the situation is, he said, not only is the valley, are the bones dry, he said, and lo, they were very dry. And yet the Almighty God turned those dry bones around and they become a mighty army. Every hopeless situation in your life will be turned around tonight. I can give you several testimonies to that. Those of you who watch the Holy Ghost service on the internet every first Friday of the month, you probably had the testimony of one of the sisters there who have been barren for 26 years. And the doctor said, there's just nothing that can happen. You are barren, you are barren, full stop. That's why she was giving her testimony. She showed us the baby after 26 years. But you may say, well, we've seen that kind before. What about this story that some of you who are old will probably remember? It's a long ago
time that miracle happened. One of my children is in the business of making soap. And in making soap, you have to mix some acids together. So there was this Saturday night, and because he will not come to work on Sunday, he decided to mix the acid before closing. Everybody had closed, everybody had gone home, and as he was mixing the acid, he slipped, fell, and the bowl of acid fell on his face. And nobody around, he couldn't see, he was groaning in pain. But one man was just passing by and saw the door of the factory open. And said, this man is not a careless kind of person. He wouldn't leave the door of his factory open. Somebody broke in. And the man went in to investigate and found this man in pain. In the meantime, the acid had been doing some terrible work. So that man rushed him to the hospital. And by the time the doctor finished giving him first aid, he began to ask him questions. Are you married? He said, yes. Have you any child at all? Yes. Have you a child that is at least about 10 or so years old? Yes. Why are you asking me this question? The doctor said, because you will never see again. The acid had eaten up your eyes. So you are going to need someone now who will be leading you by the hand. And this, my son said, okay, thank you very much. Now we have had the doctor's report. Could you please take me to my daddy so that we can hear the Lord's report? When they brought him, I will tell you the truth. Even my own faith was shaken. But you know, being a pastor, you have to put up a bold face and begin to quote the Bible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Today, more than 30 years later, he still reads without glasses. Because there is a God who can reverse the irreversible. There is a God who can make dry bones live again. That God is going to do something in your life today in Jesus' name. So when they tell you that your case is incurable, when they tell you that your problem is due to old age, when they tell you that there's nothing anybody can do to help you, just remember, there is a God who can change hopelessness and give you hope. There is a God who can reverse the irreversible. There's just one more point, and then we'll move on. And that is that we don't have to be physically present that day to know that Bartimaeus got joy in place of sorrow. Believe me honestly, there's nothing glad in being blind. There's nothing pleasant in being a beggar. Ask any decent man, he will tell you he would rather walk than receive what do they give them here? Welfare. Thank God for nations like this that give welfare to those who have no work. God help my beloved country. My country, you have no work, that's the end of the story. Nobody knows how you feed, and nobody cares. But ask any decent man, he will tell you, I would rather work and get a decent pay than being on welfare. Nobody wants to be a beggar. Nobody wants to wait on someone else before they can eat. And all of a sudden, Bartimaeus discovered darkness is gone. Poverty is gone. Stagnation is gone. I can now begin to make progress. You can imagine the joy that he got that day. Those of you who have not known joy for a long time, your day of joy is beginning now.
Why? Because the one he had an encounter with, according to Psalm 16 verse 11, Psalm 16 verse 11, is the source of joy. The Bible says in the presence of God there is the fullness of joy. And then the Bible says in Psalm 126 verse 1 to 3, Psalm 126 verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, when God turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Somebody here who had not laughed for a long time, beginning from now, you begin to laugh. The Almighty God can give you joy in place of sorrow. As a matter of fact, according to John 16 verse 24, John 16 verse 24, if you're a Christian, joy is just for the asking. He said, hitherto you have asked me nothing. Ask till your joy be full. That kind of joy called joy unspeakable. Joy full of glory. May the Almighty God give it to you today in Jesus' name. Now, so, when we talk about beauty for ashes, I've given you seven examples of how God can change ashes to beauty. He can give you light in place of darkness. He can give you love in place of hatred. He can give you yes in place of no. He can give you progress in place of stagnation. He can give you wealth in the place of poverty. He can give you hope in place of hopelessness. And he can give you joy in the place of sorrow. But there's something in this story that we had used as an example that I need to point out to you. The Bible said they came to Jericho. Jesus came to Jericho. And a great multitude followed him. Now, the Bible doesn't waste words. If the Bible simply said a multitude followed him, we will understand that means a crowd was there. But he said a great multitude. That means the crowd was large. Do you know that out of that great multitude, only Bartimaeus got a miracle? We are many here tonight. This place is full. I guess that there might be some people in the overflow, because I can see some people standing over there. Do you know it is possible for the Almighty God to pick just one person, give that fellow beautiful ashes, and end the program? He's done it before. In John chapter 5, verse 2 to 9. John 5, verse 2 to 9. In the pool of at Bethesda, the Bible said there were a multitude there, multitude of sick, withered, blind, all kinds. And there was a man who had been there for 38 years. And Jesus went to that one man, healed him, and left the place. Now, he could heal all of them, but he's the Almighty God. He's sovereign. He does as he pleases. He could heal all, and he could heal one. He could heal almost everybody and leave one, because he's God. Psalm 115 verse 3. Psalm 115 verse 3 says, our God is in the heavens. He does as he pleases. You can't query him. You can't sue him to court. If you sue him, who is going to be your judge? So he does as he pleases. But tonight, the question is, are you going to be the one? If he wants to perform a miracle, if he wants to give beauty for ashes for one person tonight, are you going to be the one? It's likely that you can be the one if you are one of his children. But if you are not one of his children, it's not likely that he will give a miracle to someone who says, I don't want to belong to Christ. Like he said to that woman, he said, I can't give the bread of children to dogs. As far as God is concerned, there are only two categories of people: children and dogs. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, as far as God is concerned, you are as good as a dog. You go to the scriptures, you will see it again and again occurring. He said, outside are dogs. Children are inside. Dogs, outside. That is why I'm appealing to you tonight. Because of one or two other things that God still wants to do. Because this is a night none of us will forget. Why don't you surrender your life to Jesus? Why do you want to continue to suffer? Why do you want to retain ashes instead of beauty? I mean, because the choice is yours now. You can have beauty or you can have ashes. And the word of God is clear. He said we cannot continue in sin and expect grace to abound. He said, God forbid. You cannot want to continue in your way of sin and expect the Almighty God to intervene in your affairs. He's not going to do it. Listen, I've been walking with God now for close to 40 years. I have seen things. I've seen the Almighty God do miracles. Some of the testimonies, if I share it with you people, you won't believe because you are too advanced. You are too scientifically minded. You can't believe that it is possible for while the preacher is preaching for somebody to grow taller. You will not be able to believe that there is a woman whose womb was taken out and yet she gave birth to a set of twins without womb. That's not scientific. So you will say, don't mind them. That's how they talk. I have seen things. In fact, the mere fact that I'm alive today is a sign that the Almighty God is a miracle-working God. But he will not give miracles to sinners. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 say, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is he heavy that he cannot hear. He said, but your sin have separated between you and your God that he will not hear. So as good as God is, as loving as he is, as ready as he is to help you, if you say, I don't want to belong to you, he won't compel you. He said, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice, I will come in. So, and open the door to me, I will come in. Somebody said, if he's the Almighty God, why doesn't he kick the door open? I say, he's not a burglar. Unless we invite him in, he won't come in. He wants to help you, but will you allow him? My God is a miracle worker, not a magician. He's a magician who will give you what we call miracle and say you can continue to live as you like. In his own case, if you want him to perform miracles in your life consistently, you must surrender your life to him. You must say bye-bye to a life of sin. That is the condition. He's a holy God. The word of God says two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Amos chapter 3 verse 3. And the Almighty God said, listen, the reason I want you to be holy is because I am holy. So I'm appealing to those of you who are here tonight, because a night like this comes only once in a lifetime. Oh, we may say, after all, we will meet again next year. Who knows? Jesus might have returned before next year. If he doesn't return before next year, you may be dead before next year. I may be gone before next year. But we have now, we have this moment to take a decision. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 6, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't postpone your decision. Give your life to Jesus now. And I can assure you, he will give you beauty for ashes. So if you are here and you have not yet given your life to Jesus, I'm going to count from 1 to 10. Before I say 10, I want you to stand before me here so I can pray to God for your salvation. So I can ask him to forgive all your sins so that you can have a brand new beginning. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, begin to come now, as I begin to count. 1, 2. Now don't forget, it. You might be the only one, so don't wait for anybody else. It might be just because of you alone that God has arranged this meeting. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, you begin to come now. God bless you. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sisters. God bless you. 3. He's talking to someone, and you better come very quickly. Don't miss this opportunity. And if you are clapping, brethren, keep on clapping. Encourage them. Let them come. 4. This is your day of salvation. Don't miss this opportunity. Hurry up, hurry up. And those, if you are outside, if you are in the overflow, find your way here now. Very quickly. This is your day of salvation. 5. If you claim that you are born again and you are still living in sin, somebody is deceiving somebody. Because if you are born of God, you cannot continue in sin. That one is for sure. So if you know you are still living in sin, you better come out for salvation now. Come out for the genuine one. Because if you are truly born again, he that is born of God cannot sin. 6. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. This is your day. This is your day. Please keep on clapping. Encourage them, brethren. Encourage them as they come. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. 7. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Keep coming. This is your day. This is your day. Please rejoice with them, brethren. In Africa, we get excited when we see people coming to give their life to Jesus. This is the greatest of all miracles. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. God bless you. And maybe you are a backslider. You gave your life to Jesus once, but you have gone back to doing those things that you said you will never do again. Come now. You can come for restoration. Let the Almighty God restore you and put you back in fellowship with him. Let's go ahead. Keep on clapping for Jesus. If you're a backslider, come. The Lord wants to restore you too. This could be a day of restoration for you. Come on quickly. 7 now. Come. This is your day. Don't miss this opportunity. The Lord is calling you. He's waiting for you. And his blood will wipe away all your sins. He will save you. And he will give you a brand new beginning. Keep coming. Keep coming. 8 now. You can see some of you still far away. You have to hurry up. Hurry up. The gate of mercy is still open. Don't miss this opportunity. 9. Oh yes, glory be to God. Yes, I can see you still coming. Keep coming, keep coming. And keep clapping, brethren, keep clapping. There is a saying that hands that are clapped for Jesus never wither. So keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. And keep coming, those of you on the way, keep coming. God bless you. Keep coming, keep coming. I'll wait a little for you. Keep coming. Wait for 30 seconds more for you. Keep coming. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you know you should be here and you are still sitting down, you better get up quickly and come. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. God bless you, sister. You're welcome. God bless you. God bless you. Any other person still on the way? Oh, yes. Sister, God bless you. Keep coming. Keep coming. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brothers. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, some of you will say, what will my friends say? This is not a question of what your friends will say. This is between you and your God. Between you and your God. If you are not born again, come forward. If you are backsliding, come forward. This is between you and your God. Forget what your friends will say. It's between you and your God.
You might be the only one person that God wants to touch tonight. Keep coming, keep coming. Yes, I can see more of you coming. I will wait another 30 seconds. Keep coming and keep clapping, brethren. Thank you. Keep clapping. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Yes, keep coming. Keep coming. God bless you. Keep coming. Keep coming. They are coming, so keep clapping. Until they stop coming, you don't stop clapping. So keep coming. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, keep coming. I wait. This is the greatest reason we are here. Oh, God is giving salvation in exchange for sin. He's giving restoration in exchange for backsliding. Keep clapping, brethren. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Almighty God. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you, Father. Keep coming, those of you who are still on the way. Keep coming. Thank you. Now, those of you already in front and those of you on the way, keep coming. Don't stop. Just keep coming. I want you to talk to the Almighty God now. If you want Him to save your soul, if you are coming to the Lord for the first time, pray for salvation. Ask Him to be merciful unto you. Ask Him to wash away all your sins in His blood. Promise Him that you will serve Him from now on. And if you're a backslider, say, Lord, I'm sorry, I went back from you. Now I'm returning. Take me back. Begin to talk to the Almighty God. And the rest of us, will you please stretch your hands towards these people and pray for them? Ask that the Almighty God, who saved your soul, who saved their own souls, that the Almighty God who has kept you to this moment, we keep them for the rest of their lives. Please, let's intercede for them, brethren. Let's pray for each and every one of them. Let's pray for them. Say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on these, your children. Save the sinners. Restore the backsliders. Let your blood do its work again. Let all their sins be wiped away. Lord God Almighty, give them a brand new beginning. A brand new beginning. A brand new beginning. Let all things pass away, Lord. Let all things become new. Let them know the joy of salvation today. And restore to the backslider the joy of salvation that they have lost. Please, Lord, save souls tonight and restore backsliders. Thank you, my Father. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. My Father and my God, I want to bless your holy name. I want to thank you for your word that has gone forth. And I want to thank you for the souls that have been converted to you tonight. Your word says no man can come to you except the Father draws him. Father, I thank you for drawing these people. And I thank you that they have not refused your drawing. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, you promise that whosoever will come unto you, you will nowise cast out. These your children have come to you now. Father, please receive them in Jesus' name. Forgive them in Jesus' name. Let your blood wipe away all their sins in Jesus' name. My Lord and my Savior, I'm praying that as you are saving their souls today, you will write their names in the book of life. And every backslider who has returned to you, Father, receive them back fully in Jesus' name. And I pray for these people, the beginning from now, anytime they call on you, you please answer them by fire. And I pray that they will all get beautiful ashes in Jesus' name. Thank you, Almighty God. Glory be to your holy name. And I pray that none of them will ever go back into the world again. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to rejoice with those of you who have come forward tonight, because I want to make you a solemn promise. By the special grace of God, from this moment onward, every day of my life, I'll be praying for you. And very soon, you'll be receiving miracles, even miracles you didn't ask for. Then you will know there must be somebody somewhere praying for you. And that somebody will be me. That's why I'm going to need your names, your address, and your prayer request. The counselors will compile, they will give me a copy. I promise you, as a man of God, I'll be praying. So if you will turn to your left, there's a place where some pastors are waiting. They will collect the information I need, and they will bring you back very quickly. Let's begin to go now. Let's clap for Jesus as they go. Let's clap for Jesus as they go. Now you really must clap this time round. Let's clap for Jesus as they go. Only God can do this. It takes God to save souls. Come on, keep clapping. Come on, don't be miserly with your applause. Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. The one who claps the most will get the biggest miracle. I can guarantee you that. Come on, keep clapping for Jesus. Keep clapping for Jesus. Keep clapping for Jesus. Keep clapping for Jesus. Thank Him for the harvest of souls. Keep clapping for Jesus. He is a wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, I'm going to share a secret with you, because I see that you're not too eager when it comes to clapping. One Bible scholar, and a very, very renowned Bible scholar, you know, he knows the Greeks and the Hebrews. He said, when the Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people, he said, what the original said is, put your enemies between your two palms and crush them. Your clapping has changed now. Hallelujah. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Now, like I said, there are one or two things that we are going to do before we go. But first, I want you to pray. If it were in Nigeria, after the preaching like this, we will all go on our knees or on our faces and we'll pray for 1 hour flat out. Because the Lord said the minimum time that should be spent in prayer is 1 hour. He said to the disciples, can't you watch with me for 1 hour? But this is Canada. If I ask you to pray for 1 hour, only God knows whether you will not be fast asleep by then. But I want you to write down this prayer request. Even if it's for only 10 minutes, you are going to pray. After all, we have to begin from somewhere. First prayer point is that we are going to praise God that you are even able to be here tonight. Praise Him. Praise Him that your time has come. This is your night. And then the second prayer, you are going to say, Father, I am tired of darkness. Please give me light. I am tired of darkness. Please give me light. Second prayer point, you're going to say, Father, I am tired of stagnation. Please accelerate my promotion. I am tired of stagnation. Please accelerate my promotion. And then you're going to pray and say, Father, I'm tired of barely surviving. Please give me abundance. I'm tired of barely surviving. Please give me abundance. And prayer point number 5, Father, I'm tired of hopelessness. Please give me a glorious hope. I'm tired of hopelessness. Please give me a glorious hope. And then number 6. Father, I am tired of sorrow. Please give me joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm tired of sorrow. Please give me joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then number 7. Father, I'm tired of unanswered prayers. Please answer me now. I'm tired of unanswered prayers. Please answer me now. So I'm going to give you 10 minutes to pray. You can pray in any posture you want. If you want, you can sit down. If you want, you can stand. If you want, you can kneel down. If you want, you can move close to the altar and lie on your face. Any form you want, just go ahead and begin to talk to the Almighty God. Don't forget, praise Him first, then ask Him to give you light instead of darkness, accelerated promotion instead of stagnation, abundance instead of barely surviving, glorious hope instead of hopelessness, joy unspeakable instead of sorrow, and an answer to all your prayers. Just go ahead now and begin to talk to the Almighty God. Let Him hear your voice. Tonight is not a night for silent prayers. This is a night when you talk to Him. Don't forget, there is a crowd here. There is a multitude here. Bartimaeus didn't pray silently. He lifted up his voice and he cried. When the people said he was crying too loudly, he cried louder still. Talk to God. Go ahead, cry to Him now. Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. The Lord will answer your prayer by fire. He will give you light in place of darkness. He will accelerate your promotion. Beginning from now, you begin to taste his abundance. Instead of hopelessness, he will give you glorious hope. From this moment onward, you will know the meaning of joy unspeakable. He shall be well with you. In every area of your life, he will give you beauty for ashes. And you will sing a new song. So shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Friday, June 8th is the 2018 RCCG Canada Holy Ghost Service featuring Pastor E. Edeboye, Pastor Folu Edeboye, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey, Pastor Kunle Ajayi, and other ministers. The theme is Let the Fire Fall, 7 p.m. at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road, Mississauga. Admission is free. Come and experience the power of the Lord. Call 1-866-586-RCCG or visit rccgcanada.org.
We should respect everything that's as women, everything that comes with the fire of the Almighty God. Power, strength, grace, joy, peace, acceleration in whatever we do, because that was what he did for the apostles in the old days, and expansion of the kingdom of God.
Well, when you ask God to send down his fire, you automatically are asking for all manners of miracles, signs, and wonders. Because when the fire of God falls, yokes are destroyed, doors are opened, the forgotten is remembered. And so the Holy Ghost service this year is going to be an extraordinary one. So we're expecting a lot of signs and wonders and some very big testimonies.